793 Christmases ago, Francis, the humble deacon of Assisi, set up the first live Christmas creche in a small mountainside town. It was a simple creche with ox and ass there to inspire in the people of this village a new devotion to this Christ child at Christmas time. Since then, the Christmas creche has been an object of devotion and also an object of fascination and imagination. And together, fascination and imagination give us the modern creche scene with animals surrounding the holy child, with ox and ass keeping time, per rumpa pum pum, as the song says. The Spanish have a carol of a donkey that steals chocolate from Our Lady, and Christmas pageants have become a mainstay now of our celebration of the Nativity. It is often with delight and joy that Christmas pageants have all varieties of animals. In fact, I saw one pageant just this past week at, we'll just say, a parish school nearby. And there at that parish school, I saw next to my son an appropriately placed nativity cow, the lesser known nativity tiger, which I'm certain was historically accurate to first century mangers. And yet, in spite of all this, the scriptures give us no picture of a menagerie of beasts at the birth of the Lord Jesus. In spite of all this, the scriptures only speak of one beast who stood by the manger. One beast who waited as the mother gave birth. One who watched as the holy child was delivered. St. John tells us of this one beast at the birth of the Lord Jesus. But he tells us not in his gospel, but in a mysterious vision in his revelation. And a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child, and she cried out in her pangs of birth, in anguish for delivery. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child that he might devour her child when she brought it forth. She brought forth a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That very night, that silent night, a dragon watched and waited as this little Lord Jesus slept. A dragon sought to devour this holy child. And this dragon did not stop there, for its venom moved through the bloodthirsty Herod to seek this child's life. This dragon's venom moved in the fickle crowds who cried, "Crucify him." This dragon's venom moved in the hate and hostility of the scribes and Pharisees and the weakness of Pontius Pilate. Finally, the dragon watched as this boy, now full grown, was put to death. St. John tells us later who this dragon is. That ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. You see, this birth is more than a serene wonder. It's more than a silent night, and it's more than heavenly peace. The writer Philip Yancey said of this night, from God's viewpoint and Satan's, Christmas signals far more than the birth of a baby. It was an invasion, the decisive advance in the great struggle for the cosmos. The proclamation of the angels, peace, goodwill towards men, is not merely a proclamation, but a declaration of war. It is quite simply fighting words. And in this struggle for the cosmos, in this struggle for the hearts of men, there can be no spectators. St. John goes on to say, the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. You see, the gospel of this Lord Jesus, the gospel that this infant Lord would one day preach and would enflesh in himself. This gospel is not just that there is a wise and powerful and loving God who loves his creation. That is true, but it's not just that. This gospel is not just that this wise and loving, faithful God seeks to restore his creation. That is true. But it's not just that. It is not just that this wise and loving God sent his Son to draw us back to himself. That is true. But that is not the whole story. There is no gospel without the truth of our ancient enemy. The danger of our ancient enemy. The first proclamation of this gospel, of the gospel we rejoice in this night, the first proclamation the church believes was in the Garden of Eden itself. When the Lord God spoke to Eve and spoke to this dragon, it was there. The church calls it the proto-evangelium, the first gospel, where the Lord God himself proclaimed that one day, though man be wounded by this dragon, one day the seed of woman will strike the dragon's head. One day the seed of woman will give the mortal blow. This is the first proclamation of the gospel, that one day this enemy, this dragon, will be swallowed up in victory. Tonight we rejoice that this infant king, though hunted by this dragon, had the victory. Tonight we rejoice that, as St. Paul tells us, this infant king, this young man, having disarmed the powers and principalities, the dragon and all his forces, he made, St. Paul says, a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is the glory that we sing of this night. This is the good news that we rejoice in this night. Now you might say, Father, this is not really what I was expecting of a Christmas sermon. Where's the good cheer and the fa-la-la-la-la and whatnot? Well, you may be thinking, well, why can't we just rejoice? And why can't we just sing glory? And why can't we just feast and celebrate? But of course we can. This night, these days of Christmas are for feasting. They are for good meat and strong drink. They are for singing and laughing and joy. But know this. Know this. We rejoice and celebrate this night, these days of Christmas, not as benign spectators. We rejoice and celebrate this night and the days to come, not in trite frivolities. That is not our Christmas feast. No, we rejoice as warriors who have seen our captain. We rejoice as warriors who sing the victor's song, who have seen victory, who have tasted it, and who have tasted it afresh every time we come to this altar. Every time we have tasted the food of victory, every time we have renewed our allegiance to this infant Lord, to this dragon-crushing infant Lord. That is the good news, and for that we rejoice and sing. For that we rejoice and celebrate these 12 glorious days. For that we rejoice. For that we can truly say, with so many Christians gone before us, may God rest, ye merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power while we were gone astray. Indeed, these are tidings of comfort and joy because they are the tidings of the gospel. They are the tidings of this gospel, the tidings of the baby boy who crushed the dragon's head.